the OTB Podcast Network.
You're welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. No doubt about the main news today. All started by the front page of the Irish Independent this morning. Dublin GAA stars hold secret training despite COVID rules. Johnny Cooper and Footballer of the Year Brian Fenton among those photographed at a training session yesterday morning at Inish Falls GAA Club. At least 9 players and a trainer there. This happening barely 12 hours after Croke Park issued a circular to all clubs and counties warning them that any breach of the current ban on collective training could put the GAA's overall plans for a return in serious jeopardy. Throughout the day, the GAA have got involved. They have started their own investigation, expressing their frustration and extreme disappointment with the Dublin Footballers collective training session. The Gardaí are also investigating exactly what happened as well, and there's been any amount of comment, all leading up to the statement from Dublin GAA this evening, which read that Dublin GAA acknowledged that following an investigation this afternoon, there was a breach of COVID-19 guidelines yesterday morning. The County Management Committee have suspended Dublin senior football manager Desi Farrell for 12 weeks with immediate effect. The Dublin senior football management and players recognise that this was a serious error of judgment and apologise unreservedly for their actions. Jack Chambers, the Minister for Sport, was on News Talk a little bit earlier today. Here's what he had to say.
Well, look, I think what we need to see now is I've had this contact from my officials in the Department of Sport with the GAA this morning, reflecting our disappointment and frustration with what has happened. The GAA now need to investigate it and establish the facts and follow through accordingly. But what I would say is that we've got 32 counties across the country, many of whom aren't training and are waiting for the date of the 19th of April across GAA, ladies football and Camogie. I think we have to allow that to proceed accordingly, and we need to reinforce the fact that no team should train until they're allowed to do so. We've got many people across society who can't, who are obviously restricted in terms of the number of kilometres they can travel, the people they can meet, attending funerals, and that's the broader frustration I think that's reflected today. And we need to, many GAA players are important role models and have been important role models, and they've shown great commitment and dedication to showing leadership over the last 12 months. And I think what we need from today is, proper investigation by the GAA and follow through. And they've said they'll do that and breaches will be dealt with.
So that was the Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers, speaking earlier. On News Talk Breakfast, the former president of the GAA, Sean Kelly, was on. Here's what he had to say.
This is true. It's surprising and very disappointing, especially coming from the 6-in-a-row Dubs. There's a responsibility with that accolade to give a good example. And every club and every county in the country are probably frustrated that they cannot get back on the field. But there is a roadmap there. The GAA have outlined the guidelines and everybody has to stick by them. But I think the GAA will certainly have to look at it very strongly. And you have to be consistent in the way you apply the rules. They have to apply to everybody, whether you're All-Ireland champions or just at the very bottom of the ladder, because this is a serious situation. And hopefully that it was a once-off breach, it won't happen again, because if it goes without some form of sanction, then others will say, why can't we do the same? So it has created a very difficult dilemma for the GAA.
It certainly has. To discuss this, I'm joined by the Irish Independent's Colm Keyes and the current Offaly football manager, John Mong. Good evening to you both. Colm, I've run through the timeline of the day just there. The news this evening then that Desi Farrell has been suspended for 12 weeks. I can't imagine that's the end of this.
No, I would imagine that the GAA will want to conduct their own investigation into this and apply their own penalties. Obviously, this is a preemptive strike from Dublin to register, obviously, their disapproval of it from the county board's point of view, or at least to be seen to register disapproval and acknowledge the wrong of it, I suppose. But the GAA are the ultimate arbiters in this and dispensers of discipline. And I'm sure they'll want to weigh up whatever other aspects need to be weighed up on this. And while 3 months is consistent with what Ronan McCarthy got, obviously Paddy Talley from Down got 2 months, but Ronan McCarthy's 3 months, that's consistent with it. Will it be left at that, given the fact that it's quite clear since February 10th that GAA no longer have elite status, or inter-county teams no longer have the elite status since February? That wasn't the case, or at least it wasn't known when the Cork and Down breaches took place. Well, Down are obviously in a different jurisdiction in that respect. So, you know, the elite staff was thought to be there in early January. So that probably, with regard to the state, could have got approval, even though the Federation, in this case, the GAA, weren't allowing it. So there were slightly different circumstances, albeit I think 3 months will probably be it, and it will get Desi Farrell back for the Leinster quarterfinal, given what we think we know about the schedule.
Is there any expectation that any of the players will be sanctioned?
No, because that's not consistent with what has gone before. Obviously, the last year, when prior to the resumption of the club season, when the GAA were trying to, you know, enforce some rules and regulations around the overlap between the two seasons, or the potential overlap, they called in the chairs but last June or late June, early July, and impressed upon them that it would be managers and at the time county chairs that would bear the brunt for any breach. And that's what happened in January, albeit the county chairs in both instances weren't suspended, but they were certainly the indications given to chairpersons at that meeting last July that they would be held responsible for any such breaches. But as I said, it didn't happen. It didn't happen in January, and it's not consistent that players would be suspended for this. No, I would not believe so.
It does raise a huge amount of questions as to who knew what. We'll come to those in a moment, but John Mann, the Offaly football manager, is with us as well. John, to put it mildly, this is a massive error of judgment from the Dublin footballers and management team, but it's also seen by thousands of people around the country as a massive kick in the teeth to them who have obeyed the rules, who have sacrificed so much over the last year, that the rules don't apply to a certain cohort of people, that the Dublin footballers somehow thought that they were above the rules that everybody else is abiding to. What have you made of it?
Yeah, I had a long conversation with our chairman, Michael Dignan, off last night, and it never entered my mind during our discussion that went on for about 35 minutes, and I was discussing about returning to train on the 19th, with effect from the 19th, I was looking at coordinating the medical cover and food cover and what we'd be allowed to do when we get to Kilcormac, our training venue in Offaly. But never once did it cross my mind to try and jump ahead of the queue and get a coordinated training session. I was disappointed when I heard this morning. I woke to the news. I wasn't, disappointment would be the wrong phrase to use. I was surprised. I'll be honest with you, the Dubs, in fairness to them, have been great role models. I mean, they've never, since Pat Gilroy went in there a number of years ago, followed by Jim Gavin and now obviously Desi, they've been fantastic role models, and I marvel at how they have sustained it and never squeaky clean, never appears to be in trouble. And believe you me, there are always little issues that have to be dealt with, little scrapes along the way when you're managing a team. But Dublin have done it exceptionally well, and they've kept under the radar, squeaky clean. That's how I was quite shocked and surprised, particularly to have formalised it with a trainer being involved. Like, I mean, I do know around the country, there's a huge element of frustration with everybody, every cohort, whether you're a cyclist or whether you can't go out with the local club cycling, or whether you're an inter-county footballer or a club footballer. And I know my son here, who is a club footballer, he's very, very frustrated. He's missing it terribly. We all are missing it terribly. I'm missing it terribly. But I was really, really surprised to think that the Dubs would be so naive, whoever tipped them off about these 7 or 8 or 9. I wonder, where were the other 30? Where were they training?
Well, Colm Keyes, what about that question that does come up as to there was 8 or 9 players there? It does seem as though it was a non-contact training session, but there was a trainer with them, and there's no doubt they weren't just there for a chat to check in with each other. But that's a big squad that Dublin generally have of 40. So I presume questions are now being asked as to, well, the tip-off came, this was happening, where were the other 30 players? And was this a regular thing, not just yesterday, but over the last few weeks?
Well, they are legitimate questions, Nathan, because, you know, if you walk out onto a pitch which should be closed at 7 o'clock in the morning, you'd have to wonder, is it the first time? I would certainly wonder, is it the first time? And could you go back to last summer, for instance, and say, well, were any of these teams training then? Either were Dublin training? You have to ask that question now that, you know, it seemed easy enough and that they would get out onto that pitch at that time, and maybe expect not to be seen or not to for nobody to hear about it. So you would have to ask that question. Where as to where were the others? You know, I couldn't speculate upon that, but there were certainly, you know, up to nine players there, and clearly an instructor overseeing the session. So yeah, legitimate question, Nathan, for sure. Where was everyone else?
And questions, as Cullum said there, John, that everyone is asking now as to what's going on around the rest of the country, because Dublin were the team who had incredible integrity built around them. And if they're doing this, what's everyone else doing? You approached it straight away there to say this wasn't us, because the first question you have to ask now everybody is, well, have you had sessions? And an eye is going to be cast on every county manager. Rumours have been swirling for weeks anyways. This is going to do a huge amount of damage to the GEA.
I would imagine government officials would have been in contact with Croke Park this morning. Dublin, I suppose, County Board have sold them a little dummy by seeming to implement their own punishment for Desi. I don't think it will stop there, incidentally. I think that the GAA, whatever a punishment, I don't know, how can you punish the Dubs? A fine? I mean, I would rather see every inter-county footballer in Dublin being punished, maybe dispatch them around the country when this COVID has passed to take training sessions in clubs or something. That might be a punishment. Do it free of charge. But coming in with a fine or a suspension, it's not a whole lot. Look, the reality is we kind of catch them. The Dubs are so far ahead of everybody. They didn't need this a training session. Like, I mean, the Offaly boys need it. Maybe the Leash boys or the Wicklow lads in an extra campaign. But
well, what are players doing, John? Have you come under any pressure from anybody within the county, from players who, as you say, like everybody else, are fed up and just want to get back and feel, listen, we're all fit young men in our 20s. What harm in us getting together for a bit of fitness training? Have you had any of those conversations?
Oh, we have. I've had Zoom call. I have a Zoom call tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. I was supposed to have one this evening with them. I spoke to six or seven players last Monday. This is what we're doing ongoing. And yes, players are training. They're training, though, individually. So they may, at this stage, they might be two going out with the ball. I have not in any way endorsed or suggested that any Offaly footballer would go out and train together. That's not what we have done in Offaly. I'm sticking to the protocols and the procedures there. I don't want to break them. I wouldn't be allowed. I mean, Michael Dignan, our chairman of Offaly, would not facilitate John Mahan organising a training session for six or seven people. I wouldn't ask him, because I recognise that the rules are there. I don't want to break the rules. I've seen what happened to Down and Cork, and I can understand there's a huge element of frustration in society, generally speaking. And more importantly, I don't want to bring COVID home with me. So, and apparently this is how it spreads, guys mixing and mingling. Those eight or nine lads, Dubs, I'm sure they have work. I don't know if they work in the HSE or what kind of level of work they have. But I'm trying to go to a physio down here, and I'm waiting to see a particular guy. He said, John, I can't see it. He said, because my mother-in-law is an elderly person, she lives with it, and I don't want to take a chance of bringing COVID into her house. So we have all that scenario coming into play. But look, it was, I don't think you can really punish them. And I don't know what punishment is for the Dubs, no matter what you do. But I can imagine Croke Park will have taken a call from government officials to say, look, ye deal with it. And I don't think it'll stop with the 3 months. Whatever they're going to do, I have no idea. I can only speculate what might happen, but I really don't know how they can punish them.
Well, what does happen then, Cullum, because this came very shortly after Tom Ryan sent out that circular, and if you go on the Dublin GAA website, the first post is still that circular from Tom Ryan where it says, it's more important than ever that no collective training sessions are held between now and the government indicated return dates. Breaches in this context will not only be dealt with under our own rules, but would likely put the broader plan to return to activity in serious jeopardy. This is the Dublin Footballers, the most lauded sports team in the country, the most successful GAA team we have ever seen, and they have breached those rules. Has there been any talk at all about this putting the return to activity in serious jeopardy?
Well, that element of the statement was really what jumped out at me on Tuesday night, first of all, and then when this story obviously came to light. You set this story in the context of that GAA statement the night before. And then you say, well, is there something that they know that they're actually putting this across to say that everything else could be jeopardized by any potential breach? I have to say, I don't think it will jeopardize the further rollout. I think if there was another incident like this, I think it definitely would at that stage. But right now, I think it'll be looked at in isolation by officials, and the GA will move, I think, and I think the penalties will be a little more severe than maybe what Dublin have proposed. I think there'll be add-ons. Obviously, Cork and Down lost home advantage for a league game. That'll probably that will apply here. Can't speculate. Maybe there'll be an extra month added to this suspension. Maybe not. Maybe it will be consistent with Ronan McCarthy. But it was a very weighty statement by the GAA on Tuesday evening, and it certainly pointed to any discrepancy here, and we could be in trouble. So really, that fear was expressed by the GAA themselves on Tuesday night, not by anybody else, by the GAA themselves. They put that out there, and obviously that still potentially holds. But my belief is that, no, there won't be any issue for now. But I think if another case was to crop up, and maybe one more after that, then I think that things could be in jeopardy.
In terms of the actual issues away from just the COVID rule breach, Cullum, in terms of insurance for the players who were there yesterday morning, are they covered by insurance? Expenses, the GPA's role in all of this, that their members were going out breaching the rules. What's the fallout likely from that?
Well, there's no insurance, first of all. The insurance scheme is suspended until the season is back up and running, and that applies from the 19th of April in terms of intercounty players, and the 26th for underage kids. And whenever club players get back, well, that season the insurance will kick back in then. So obviously, you know, they weren't covered, but I'm quite sure cover would be provided by Dublin in some way. I mean, I don't think any of them, if anything happened, would be left wanting. I think that's probably clear. And the fact of the matter is that these pitches were supposed to be closed, and the Dublin chief executive, John Costello, only last week issued a circular to say that all premises, all GA facilities should remain closed. In terms of the GPA, I would think their message would have been to their membership to, you know, observe the rules in whatever way you can. And clearly that's not the case. And yes, we've all heard anecdotal evidence of others, but it's all very well having anecdotal evidence until you actually have the evidence. And the evidence is here in this case. So, you know, we make the presumption, and the perception is certainly out there, that other intercounty teams have been breaching and have wanted to go. And, you know, some people will shrug their shoulders and that and say, well, what's the big deal about a few guys kicking a ball? But the bigger picture is that state and GA rules have been contravened. And whether we like them or not, they're there, just like taxes or just like anything else. They're there, and we must observe them as much as we can. And, you know, the best team, the team at the very apex of not just GAA, but perhaps even Irish sport, the most revered team in many ways for their excellence. And John, as John pointed out earlier, their reputation right through the team as leaders and as, you know, pillars of community and all of that. And that has been steadily built up over the last decade to the point where, you know, you would think that they were untouchable in so many ways. And yet here they are finding themselves in the corner defending a breach of training, which to some, as I said, might not be the biggest deal, but you have to look at it in the context of the country at the moment and the fact that it was only 2 weeks to go before that this, you know, the green light was given for intercounty training.
Desi Farrell, John, has taken the 12-week suspension from the Dublin County Board. As Cullum says, there may be further ramifications coming down the line, and we have to imagine that as the Dublin manager that he knew this was happening. And I think for a lot of people it underlines that it is this unstoppable monster of the inter-county game, that no matter what the rules are, we must train, we must get an edge no matter what. It just seems to have gone to a completely insane level now.
Yeah, I have to say, you would admire them, like those guys at 7 a.m. They were training at 7, so I'm sure some of them were up at 6 a.m. to get there. Yeah, they have incredible discipline. And we've seen the names, and I think Brian Fenton was there, Johnny Cooper, Brian Howard, you know, household names. But they're an amazing bunch of guys to have that kind of appetite to come and train after all the All-Ireland medals they have. And you've got to admire them for that. Well, getting back to the point earlier on, it's the optics of it right now that looks so bad, because we're all suffering. Every cohort of society is struggling. I'm at work every day. I'm lucky enough to be able to go to work every day. But I meet people just around the place, and this particular lockdown has really tested every individual. And just the optics of that photograph, guys out enjoying themselves, having fun, and more or less the two fingers, it just looks bad. It looks terrible. And I don't think there was any need for it, particularly the Dubs. Like, I mean, they're strolling through lesser titles for a bit of fun. Like, I mean, the reality is, you know, you applaud a team now that holds them maybe to a 10 or 12 point defeat. That's how good and how strong they are. Above any team in the country, they didn't need the session right now. You know, this is the other thing. You know, so look at it. I won't say disappointed. I was surprised to see that they're training at 7 a.m. and maybe that's how strong they are. They're just so focused and disciplined that they don't need to read papers. They're just dedicated to the cause, and they couldn't stop. Who knows? And it's quite bizarre. It's unfortunate that we're talking about it right now, because, you know, we've only a couple of weeks to go, and that's the great news we got. We all anticipated being back on Monday. I felt in the last couple of weeks that wouldn't be the case. I had hope for the 12th, but the 19th is just so I can nearly touch it. Mm. And there's an element of excitement amongst the inter-county footballers, and I know, engaging with my own lads in Offaly, they really are excited and looking forward to getting back, as anyone would. It's a bit like Christmas, getting back to play, because I haven't seen them in months. I haven't physically, I brought in a couple of guys into the panel last November, December. I haven't physically met them. So, an element of excitement in getting back. And, I don't mind waiting for the couple of weeks, and I'd stick to the rules. I assume most counties. I had a chat with one or two inter-county managers and coaches this evening. And of course, the topic of discussion is the Dubs. What do you think of this, John? And I have to say, I was quite surprised. You know. But look, it'll be dealt with. Croke Park can come in and it'll be dealt with and it'll move on. And it's just the optics of it now. It's today's news, and hopefully it'll move on.
It will, and the sanctions will take place, Cullum. And there's been all sorts of rumours for weeks about inter-county teams taking part in training sessions. And it's probably testament to how high the Dubs' reputation was that most people, when they looked at that paper this morning, the front page, were shocked and surprised that it was Dublin who were engaging in this. And if anything, it's not the physical punishment of 12-week suspensions or 16 weeks or taking them out of home games for the league that will be the longest lasting impact. This was a group of players who were seen as whiter than white, the most successful team in the history of the GEA, who, regardless of the conversations around funding, did things the right way. They were proper role models, not just for people around Dublin, but for around the country. And that the reputational damage of this is going to be far more longer lasting and maybe far more damaging for Dublin than any suspension is going to be.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think, you know, will it impact them on the field this year and in years ahead? Of course it won't. Dublin will still, you know, this will move on. But I suppose there's always a bookmark for what happened on Wednesday morning in Innisfails. And as I said earlier, you know, they've almost been untouchable. And you use the words whiter than white. Did things by the book, by and large. You know, no blemishes there right through almost a decade. Few disciplinary issues here and there, you know, towards the end of All-Ireland finals where you might have made a case against it, but few and far between. They did their business so clinically, meticulously, all of that, and just have got a little bit loose here and have been obviously caught doing, you know, contravening rules in this regard. And because there has been so little about them in this regard, this will stand out. And given their reputation for doing things the right way under Jim Gavin and under Desi Farrell, and as John said, Pat Gilroy before that, it does leave a little bit of a blemish.
Mm. One of the issues, John, is that you're back training then in 2 weeks, and we're still waiting for the final calendar to be released, but that maybe teams feel they need to be back in training right now in terms of preventing injuries, building up that strength and conditioning. Is that a fair excuse that while they've broken the rules, that county managers like yourself are going to be in a difficult position around players' fitness and being ready for the league and championship, whatever way it shapes up?
It is a concern, Nathan, and it's something I'm discussing with our strength and conditioning guys and our coaches that are involved with me in Offaly. And we would have a concern, I think. We saw last year that despite the lockdown and the shortened season, I think the insurance claims of Croke Park were still quite high, because we experienced a lot of soft tissue injuries and other kinds of injuries when players returned after the lockdown. it is a concern because there's been no physical contact. We play a contact sport, obviously. These guys have been training in gyms. They'll be like little monsters when they come back. But unfortunately, that type of interaction and physical contact has been missing for the last 5 or 6 months. And I'm just wondering, ideally, I would rather maybe 5 weeks, an extra week, because the first week is trying to test them and see where they're at. And you've only got, I think we're looking at maybe a window of 4 weeks before we commence a league program. I'm guessing here now, because as you rightly say, Nathan, we won't know until the latter stages of next week what kind of a calendar or fixture we're going to have. But I'm hoping it'll be a single block, a league fixtures, 4 or 5 league games or whatever it is, and then moving maybe into championship. I don't think they'll break for club, but I'm only speculating. We're just waiting to see what's going to happen. But and I'm sure the GPA, and there will be some element of consultation with county chairman and hopefully the players to see what best suits. But yeah, it's a concern though as regards the getting back, and you will be a little bit worried about injuries. So my experts who work with me tell me, lads, it's got to be slowly for the first week or two, and everybody should be playing on the same level field. I'll be honest with you, Nathan, I don't think there are too many counties back collectively trained, despite the rumours. And I had a phone call there just before I came on air this evening from a guy in Dublin. He said, I heard there's cars all in around McHale Park. You know, someone has a photograph of, you know, sponsored cars that the Mayo players driving around McHale Park. I can say with nearly 90% accuracy, that's not the case, because I have a son. My son Johnny is on the development squad with the Mayo County Board, and he's never trained in there collectively. I know that for a fact. He lives at home with me. So there is a lot of speculation going on about teams training collectively. I don't think it's happening. I think there might be small pods going, but certainly no coach. And anyone that, I suppose, sends out the coach and formalises it in that way, that's really raising a flag. And I think that when Dublin reflect on this, they say, because that was a bit stupid and a bit naive of us. We should have done it better, maybe under the cover of darkness. But obviously there was a tip-off somewhere along the line, someone tipped them off, and here we have the big news.
I think part of it was under the cover of darkness, and I think you're right, John, that most people look at this and go, I cannot believe they were that stupid to turn up in their sponsored cars for a collective training session. Cullum, what happens next then? Because so there's the 12-week suspension. The GEA are still investigating. The Gardaí are investigating the incident. They say that they're making inquiries into reports of alleged breaches of COVID regulations. Regulation 11 places restrictions on training events. It's not declared to be a penal regulation. In terms of how quickly the GEA investigation concludes and how likely we'll get to know that final punishment, that final disciplinary action, do you think it'll be a speedy process?
Oh, I think so, because obviously Dublin have acknowledged wrongdoing here, so there's no defence here. So it's in the hands of the GAA, which I presume the management committee would probably take something like that and suspend, officially suspend under misconduct. Now, bear in mind that it was Mayo that suspended three of their own senior management backroom team for accessing without authorization Croke Park on the day of the All-Ireland final, and it was Mayo that suspended those three in that respect, and the GAA didn't add to those suspensions at the time, or they didn't look into it. It was Mayo actually conducted and closed that investigation. So whether this follows that way, I just don't think so. I think management will want to have a look at this themselves and maybe establish a few more facts around it. I'm sure they've questions to ask of Dublin, but I do think it will happen quickly. I think if it stays at 12 weeks, given the expected schedule, and that's 5 rounds of a league, including a semi-final and final and a relegation playoff on the same weekend as a semi-final for football, perhaps a week's break then to the start of a knockout provincial championship. That would probably leave Desi Farrell back a week and a couple of days before they'd play in the Leinster quarterfinal. Dublin would be straight into a Leinster quarterfinal. They'd have a bye into it, and I would say that'd be around the first week in July. I'm only guessing here. This is only speculation. I don't know for sure, but that's around the time frame that I think Dublin would be back in action, which is early July, first weekend in July, and he would be back off suspension, able to take his place on the sideline, provided it's the 3 months that sticks and nothing is added to in that respect. So He will miss the league for sure. Dublin have made sure of that. He will miss the league. Anything else after that is really down to the GAA.
we're getting a huge amount of texts in on this, and I won't say split evenly, but certainly reaction on both sides, which maybe reflects the way the country is right now regarding the COVID rules and regulations. Colin, one person texted in saying they've driven past two clubs in Armagh this evening. Both were training. What are the rules in Northern Ireland right now around inter-county training?
The Northern Ireland executive have not revoked the elite status from the inter-county teams there. The GAA obviously has prohibited training for everybody in the north until April 12th. So from April 12th, all club teams in the north will be able to train. But the inter-county teams won't, because the GAA won't be sanctioning that until the 19th. Now, I presume they will align that. That has to be decided yet, I think, about the inter-county teams. Now that the decision has been made down south for the 19th, I presume that the GAA will align it for inter-county teams in the north to officially return training on the 19th also. In the interest of fairness, I mean, this, you know, fairness and be seen to be fair is everybody goes on the 19th. So there's not going to be any dispensation just because, the teams in the six counties could be training anyway if the GAA had prohibited it. That was never revoked, as I said. So I would think the 19th, but for everybody else, the 12th. So obviously if someone has driven by a grounds in Armagh, they're there. It's a clear breach because grounds are not supposed to be open until the 12th up there.
Yeah, and just the last one, John, on the lack of sportsmanship, which a couple of people have texted in on. It really irks me. They broke the rules knowing other teams are under duress to respect the rules and are capitalising on dishonesty to get an edge while also eroding the resolve of other teams. Do Dublin really want to win in that manner? What a hollow victory it would be, especially for a support where it's supposed to be all about pride and representing your community. Your players haven't trained, John, and they're heading into a league campaign and heading into a championship campaign. And have you got a sense at all from the players about how annoyed and how peeved that they are that Dublin have done this?
I suppose they're looking over. I had one or two comments, not necessarily from Offaly, and they're speculating, well, if it was a lesser county, would it be dealt with differently? We don't know how they're going to deal with Dublin as of yet. But the GAA needs Dublin. Like, I mean, there's all sorts of wild speculation and suggestions over before now the championship. For God's sake, we don't want Dublin for the championship. Like, I mean, the reality is people are craving for live sport. We want action on our TVs. The communities want the Dubs playing because, you know, everybody marvels at how wonderful they are. So punishing them in any way, I've taken them out of the court park, is not a punishment, because country teams love going to play in Croke Park. Every young kid dreams of playing in Croke Park, as Offaly footballers would as well. So what's a realistic punishment for us? I don't think there's anything will be real, you know, punishing Des Farrell by a 3-month suspension. He's stuck that up for the, you know, taking one for the team. Yeah. I suppose there's another, suggestion out there, the fact that League of Ireland clubs are able to play and train and with rugby every weekend. You know, that's a problem.
Well, they are professional.
I've lost you.
No, you're gone, John. John is gone. That is another debate. We might come back to that, John. And it probably is a bigger issue, as you touched on there, Colm, as well, around the question of the broader plan being in serious jeopardy as to the loss of that elite status and what brought it about. But Colm Keyes and John Mon, thanks a lot for joining us, reflecting on the day that was for the Dublin footballers. Desi Farrell suspended by his own county board for 12 weeks. Thanks to everybody who got in touch. The GAA should give every county manager 48 hours to admit if any such training has gone on. Well, John Mon has already said they haven't been in Offaly. If anybody admits it, they also get a 12-week suspension. If they don't admit it and are subsequently found to have done so, put the county out of competition for a year. I'd say we'd be amazed how many would come out of the woodwork. Very disappointed in this Dublin team as a dub, but would like to know how many others were at it, says Sean in Lucan. Lads, it's not a mistake or an error of judgment. This was planned and deliberate. Penalty should be severe, says Frankie in Louth. It's not the optics. They broke the law and let the country down. Think back to Golfgate and people lost their jobs. And a couple more to get through. They should have suspended the 9. It would give the other counties a chance, says Harry in Louth. And I'm in Sandymount at the moment. Soccer match being played, says Anne. So on a nice sunny evening, there is a lot of sport being played around the country, it seems. And thank you for all for letting us know exactly where it's happening. We'll come back to this, no doubt, tomorrow on OTBAM and across the coming days. We're going to talk to one of the best hurlers in the country in a moment. Keane Lynch is going to join us.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.